Welcome to the Cool Kids Readers Theaters podcast. For this week's episode, we chose a play from William Shakespeare entitled Much Ado About Nothing, adapted by Harrison Lamb. Our cast features Harrison Lamb as director and narrator, Brittany Lamb as Leonata, DJ Davis as the Prince, Casey Butler as Beatrice, Corey Jeanette as Claudio, Brent Sigmund as Benedict, Alicia Willard as Hero, Renee Caraballo as Margaret, Corey Jeanette as Friar, Sean Marshbanks, sound and podcast producer. Please sit back, relax, and enjoy Much Ado About Nothing.
Leonata, a wealthy landowner raising her daughter and nieces, a friend and ally to Prince.
Prince, the Prince of Aragon, resting with some of his top soldiers at Leonata's home after crushing a rebellion.
Beatrice, Leonata's niece. She is a fiery girl who loves to match wits and insults whenever she comes near Benedict.
Claudio, a young up-and-comer in the prince's army, a close confidant of the prince and near friend to an older Benedict.
Benedict, an old friend to the prince, an accomplished soldier and commander, self-proclaimed big brother to Claudio, highly resistant to marriage.
Hero, Leonata's only daughter.
Margaret, Hero's close friend and handmaid.
Friar, a local clergyman.
Part 1. Outside the properties of Leonata. Leonata has just welcomed the prince and his friends into her home. A few stragglers, including Benedict, Beatrice, and Claudio, have remained outside for a moment.
I wonder that you will still be talking, Senor Benedict. Nobody marks you.
What, my dear Lady Disdain, are you yet living?
Is it possible Disdain should die while she hath such meat food to feed it as Senor Benedict?
But it is certain I am loved by all the ladies, only you excepted. And I would I could find in my heart that I had not a hard heart, for truly, I love none.
A dear happiness to women. They would else have been troubled with a pernicious suitor. I thank God in my cold blood, I am of your humor for that. I had rather hear my dog bark at a crow than a man swear he loves me.
God, keep your ladyship still in that mind, so some gentleman or other shall scape a predestinate scratched face.
Ugh, scratching could not make it worse, and 'twere such a face as yours were.
Beatrice exits.
Benedict, didst thou note the daughter of Signora Leonata?
I noted her not, but I looked on her.
Is she not a modest young lady?
Do you question me as an honest man should do for my simple, true judgment? Or would you have me speak after my custom as being a professed tyrant to their sex?
No, I pray thee, speak in sober judgment.
Only this commendation I can afford her. That were she other than she is, she were unhandsome. And being no other but as she is, I do not like her.
Thou thinkest I am in sport. I pray thee, tell me truly how thou likest her.
Would you buy her that you inquire after her?
Can the world buy such a jewel?
Yea, and a case to put it into.
In my eyes, she is the sweetest lady that ever I looked on.
Enter Prince.
What secret hath held you here that you followed not to Leonatus?
Count Claudio is in love. With who? With Hero, Leonardo's shirt daughter.
Amen. If you love her, for the lady is very well worthy. If thou dost love fair Hero, cherish it, and I will break with her and with her father, and thou shalt have her.
How sweetly you do minister to love, that no loves grief by his complexion.
Claudio exits. Part 2. A party that night in Leonata's courtyard. The prince, Leonata, and Hero are conversing. Benedict enters.
Now, signor, where's the count? Did you see him?
Truth, my lord, I have found him here as melancholy as a lodge in a warren. I told him, and I think I told him true, that your grace had got the goodwill of this young lady.
The Lady Beatrice hath a quarrel to you. The gentleman that danced with her told her she is much wronged by you.
Oh, she misused me past the endurance of a block. Come, talk not of her, for certainly while she is here, a man may live as quiet in hell as a sanctuary. So indeed all disquiet, horror, and perturbation follows her.
Enter Beatrice and Claudio.
Look, here she comes.
Will your grace command me any service to the world's end rather than hold 3 words conference with this harpy? Oh, God, sir, here's the dish I do not love. I cannot endure my lady tongue.
Benedick exits.
I have brought Count Claudio, whom you sent me to seek.
Here, Claudio, I have wooed in thy name, and fair hero is won. I have broke with her father, and his goodwill obtained. Name the day of marriage, and God give thee joy.
Count, take of me my daughter, and with her my fortunes. His grace hath made the match, and all grace say amen to it.
Speak, Count. Tis your cue.
Silence is the perfectest herald of joy. I were but little happy if I could say how much. Lady, as you are mine, I am yours. I give away myself for you and dote upon the exchange.
Speak, cousin. Or if you cannot, stop his mouth with a kiss and let not him speak neither.
In faith, lady, you have a merry heart.
Yea, my lord. I thank it, poor fool. It keeps on the windy side of care. Thus goes everyone in the world but I, and I am sunburnt. I may sit in a corner and cry, hey ho, for a husband.
Lady Beatrice, I will get you one.
I would rather have one of your father's getting. Hath your grace ne'er a brother like you?
To be merry best becomes you, for out of the question you were born in a merry hour.
Cousins, God give you joy.
Beatrice exits.
By my troth, a pleasant spirited lady.
There's a little of the melancholy element in her, my lord.
She were an excellent wife for Benedick.
Oh, my lord, if they were but a week married, they would talk themselves mad.
County Claudio, when mean you to go to church?
Tomorrow, my lord.
Not till Monday, my dear son.
Come, you shake the head at so long a breathing, but I warrant thee, Claudio, the time shall not go dully by us. I will, in the interim, undertake one of Hercules' labors, which is to bring Signor Benedick and the Lady Beatrice into a mountain of affection, the one with the other.
My lord, I am for you.
And I, my lord.
And you too, gentle hero.
I will do any modest office, my lord, to help my cousin to a good husband.
I will teach you how to humor your cousin, that she shall fall in love with Benedick, and I, with your 2 helps, will so practice on Benedick that, in despite of his quick wit and his queasy stomach, he shall fall in love with Beatrice. Go in with me, and I will tell you my drift.
They exit. Part 3. In one of Leonata's large gardens, Benedick is strolling through.
I will not be sworn, but love may transform me to an oyster, but I'll take my oath on it. Till he have made an oyster of me, he shall never make me such a fool. One woman is fair, yet I am well. Another wise, yet I am well. Another virtuous, yet I am well. But till all virtues be in one woman shall not come in my grace. Rich she shall be, that's certain. Wise, or I'll have none. Virtuous, or I'll never cheapen her. Fair, or I'll never look on her. Mild, or come not near me. Of good discourse, an excellent musician, and her hair shall be the color of whatever color it please God. The prince and Monsieur Love, oh, I will hide me in the arbor.
He hides himself. Enter Prince Leonata and Claudio.
See you where Benedick hath hid himself?
Oh, very well, my lord.
Come hither, Leonata. What was it you told me of today, that your niece Beatrice was in love with Signor Benedick?
I did never think that lady would have loved any man.
No, nor I neither, but most wonderful that she should so dote on Signor Benedick, whom she hath in all outward behaviors seemed ever to abhor.
Is it possible?
By my troth, my lord, I cannot tell what to think of it, but she loves him with an enraged affection. It is past the infinite of thought.
Hath she made her affection known to Benedick?
No, and swears she never will. That's her torment.
It were good that Benedick knew of it by some other, if she will not discover it.
To what end? He would make but a sport of it and torment the poor lady worse, and she is exceeding wise.
In everything but in loving Benedick.
Oh, my lord, I am sorry for her, as I have just cause, being her aunt and her guardian.
I pray you tell Benedick of it, and hear what he will say.
Never tell him, my lord. Let her wear it out with good counsel.
My lord, will you walk? Dinner is ready.
Let there be the same net spread for her, and that must your daughter and her gentlewoman carry. Let us send her to call him for dinner.
They exit. Benedick comes forward.
This can be no trick. Their conference was sadly born. They have the truth of this from Hero, and they seem to pity the lady. Love me? Well, they say, too, that she will rather die than give any sign of affection. They say the lady is fair, eh? 'Tis the truth. I cannot reprove it. And wise, but for loving me. By my troth, it is no addition to her wit, nor no great argument of her folly, for I will be horribly in love with her. When I said I would die a bachelor, I did not think I should live till I were married. Oh, here comes Beatrice. By this day, she's a fair lady. I do spy some marks of love in her.
Enter Beatrice.
Against my will, I am sent to bid you come in to dinner.
Fair Beatrice, I thank you for your pains.
I took no more pains for those things than you would take pains to thank me. If it had been painful, I would not have come.
You take pleasure, then, in the message?
Yea, just so much as you may take upon a nice point and choke a doll withal. You have no stomach, senor. Fare you well.
Against my will, I am sent to bid you to come in to dinner. There's a double meaning in that.
He exits. Part 4. Another part of the garden. Hero and Margaret are sitting and sewing. Beatrice enters behind them stealthily.
Margaret, now begin, for look where Beatrice, like a lapwing, runs close by the ground to hear our conference.
But are you sure that Benedick loves Beatrice so entirely?
Oh my. So says the prince and my new trothed lord.
And did they bid you tell her of it, madame?
They did entreat me to acquaint her of it, but I persuaded them, if they loved Benedick, to wish him wrestle with affection and never to let Beatrice know of it.
Why did you so? Doth not the gentleman deserve as full as fortune a bed as ever Beatrice shall couch upon?
But nature never framed a woman's heart of prouder stuff than Beatrice. She cannot love, nor take no shape nor project of affection.
And therefore, certainly, it were not good. She knew his love, lest she'll make a sport of it. Yet tell her of it. Hear what she will say.
No. Rather, I will go to Benedick and counsel him to fight against his passion.
His excellence did earn it ere he had it. When are you married, madame?
Why, every day. Tomorrow. Come, go in. I'll show thee some attires and have thy counsel, which is the best to furnish me tomorrow.
They exit, and Beatrice comes forward.
What fire is in mine ears? Can this be true? Stand I condemned for pride and scorn so much? Contempt, farewell, and maiden pride, adieu, and Benedick, love on. I will requite thee, taming my wild heart to thy loving hand. If thou dost love, my kindness shall incite thee to bind our loves up in a holy band.
She exits. Part 5. A chapel set up for the wedding between Hero and Claudio. Claudio with the prince and Benedick stand next to the friar as Hero and Beatrice come down the aisle in a wedding procession. Once everyone is in place, Hero smiles up at Claudio, who wears a frown.
You come hither, my lord, to marry this lady? No. Lady, you come hither to be married to this count?
I do.
If either of you know any inward impediment why you should not be conjoined, I charge you on your souls to utter it. Know you any Hero?
None, my lord.
What man was he talked with you yesternight out at your window betwixt 12 and 1? Now, if you are a maid, answer to this.
I talked with no man at that hour, my lord.
Why, then, are you no maiden? Leonata, I am sorry you must hear. Upon mine honor, myself, my brother, and this grieved count did see her, hear her at that hour last night, talk with a ruffian at her chamber window, who had indeed most like a liberal villain confessed the vile encounters they have had 1,000 times in secret.
Fare thee well, most foul, most fair. Farewell.
Claudio and the prince exit.
Pause a while, and let my counsel sway you in this case. Your daughter here, the prince, is left for dead. Let her a while be secretly kept in, and publish it, that she is dead indeed.
What shall become of this? What will this do?
Mary, this well carried shall on her behalf change slander to remorse. She, dying, as it must be so maintained, upon the instant that she was accused, shall be lamented, pitied, and excused of every hearer. So will it fare with Claudio. When he shall hear that she died upon his words, then shall he mourn, and wish he had not so accused her.
Friar, Leonata, and Hero exit. Beatrice and Benedick are left alone in the chapel. Beatrice is crying, and Benedick inches awkwardly toward her.
Lady Beatrice, have you wept all this while?
Yea, and I will weep a while longer.
Oh, I will not desire that.
You have no reason. I do it freely.
Surely I do believe your fair cousin is wronged.
Ugh, how much might the man deserve of me that would right her?
Is there any way to show such friendship?
A very even way, but no such friend.
May a man do it?
It is a man's office, but not yours.
I do love nothing in the world so well as you. Is not that strange?
As strange as a thing I know not. It were as possible for me to say I love nothing so well as you, but believe me not, and yet I lie not. I confess nothing, nor I deny nothing. I am sorry for my cousin.
By my sword, Beatrice, thou lovest me.
Do not swear and eat it.
I will swear by it that you love me, and I will make him eat it that says I love not you.
Why then, God forgive me!
What offense, sweet Beatrice?
You have stayed me in a happy hour. I was about to protest I loved you.
And do it with all thy heart.
I love you with so much of my heart that none is left to protest.
They embrace and exit. Part 6. The courtyard outside the chapel the next day. Claudio has discovered that he wrongly accused Hero at their wedding, that she was innocent of all accusations, that he was tricked into believing she was unfaithful. He is mournful, believing that the woman he loved so dearly is dead because of him. in order to repair the relationship between himself, the prince, and Leonata, Claudio has agreed to marry one of Leonata's nieces.
Good morrow to this fair assembly.
Good morrow, prince. Good morrow, Claudio. We here attend to you. Are you yet determined today to marry my brother's daughter? Call her forth, brother. Here's the friar ready.
Enter the veiled women.
Which is the lady I must seize upon?
The same as she, and I do give you her.
Why then she's mine. Sweet, let me see your face.
No, that you shall not till you take her hand before this friar and swear to marry her.
Give me your hand before this holy friar. I am your husband, if you like of me.
And when I lived, I was your other wife. And when you loved, you were my other husband.
Hero unveils.
Another hero!
Nothing certainer. One hero died defiled, but I do live. And surely as I live, I am a maid.
She died, my lord, but whiles her slander lived. When after that the holy rites are ended, I'll tell you largely of fair hero's death. Meantime, let wonder seem familiar, and to the chapel let us presently.
Soft and fair friar, which is Beatrice?
Beatrice unveils.
I answer to that name. What is your will?
Do not you love me?
Why, no. No more than reason.
Why then, your uncle and the prince and Claudio have been deceived. They swore you did.
Do you not love me?
Troth, no. No more than reason.
Why then, my cousin and Margaret are much deceived, for they did swear you did.
They swore that you were almost sick for me.
They swore that you were well nigh dead for me.
'Tis no such matter. Then do you not love me?
I'll be sworn upon that he loves her, for here's a paper written in his hand, a halting sonnet of his own pure brain, fashioned to Beatrice.
And here's another, writ in my cousin's hand, stolen from her pocket, containing her affection unto Benedick.
A miracle. Here's our own hands against our hearts. Come, I will have thee. But by this light, I take thee for pity.
I would not deny you, but by this good day, I yield upon great persuasion, and partly to save your life, for I was told you were in a consumption.
Peace. I will stop your mouth.
They kiss. The end.